You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Ground Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Ground Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
And the weather today here in Flemington, New Jersey, it's currently 65 degrees Fahrenheit, breezy with rain. There can be flooding in low-lying and poor drainage areas today. So the precipitation possibility is 95%. So it's going to be a wet one today. Tonight, there's a low of 61 degrees. Feels like 55. Precipitation probability is 66%. So again, tonight, cloudy, windy, and mild with periods of rain and a thunderstorm. There can be flooding in some areas. Thursday, 69 degrees, warm wind with some sun, high of 69, low of 39. Friday, mostly sunny and cooler, 58 degrees with a low going down to 32. So cover those tomato plants or anything that you might still be harvesting that could potentially freeze. And then Saturday, Halloween, it looks like 56 degrees, oh, a little chilly for the kids, low of 41 degrees, times of clouds and some sun. But it looks like we're going to have a dry Halloween. So that's always more fun for the kids.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterton-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterton, buy local. Visit www.huntertonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
An agreement to reduce the risk of conflicts in the skies over Syria as they carry out separate airstrikes.
The issue came up after...
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good evening, this is Dr. Blood and my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at the redmillhauntedvillage.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express pass. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's show. Nice rainy day here in Flemington. We needed it, and that's a good thing. So, today... Some of you follow me on Facebook, you'll know my show is about emotional intelligence. Have you even heard of emotional intelligence? Well, it's something that, as a therapist, I work with all the time. Oftentimes, and I think a lot of you have heard me talk about four basic feelings, sad, mad, glad, and afraid. It's amazing how many people have a really hard time figuring out what they are feeling. Not only figuring it out, but expressing it, putting words on it. It's actually a skill. And so often, we really grow up in families where we're taught to not feel, or we make choices in terms of what feelings are okay to have and what feelings are not okay to have. But why is having our emotions so important? Why would we even call it a type of intelligence? Well, our ability to manage and regulate our emotions really can help us make some decisions. We can apply them to our tasks of thinking and problem solving. It helps us make good choices in terms of what we need versus what we want. It helps us identify our boundaries, set our limits, and to also take care of ourselves in terms of building self-esteem. So the term emotional intelligence is really not that old. It really has not been around all that long. And it really gained prominence in 1995, not that long ago, we're talking 20 years, when a book was written on emotional intelligence. And it's an excellent book, if you are so inclined to look it up and read it. It was written by Daniel Goleman, G-O-L-M-E-N. And it really can give us some great insight. I have both the book and the book on tape. So it is a term that describes our ability as individuals to recognize our own feelings and other people's feelings, other people's emotions, and to discriminate between different feelings, labeling them appropriately. And so often, like I said, we have rules around feelings. And I think some of these rules are being broken down and others are being built up. So one of the things that we think about is we would like men to be a little bit more emotional. So we say. So what does that mean? We want them to be sad and we want them to be happy and we want them to feel other things other than just anger. Because oftentimes that is the emotion that is okay for men to have, to be angry. And yet, at the same time, they do have the full spectrum of emotion. In addition to that, women. I was just talking to a client about this last night. Women in the workforce, it's definitely not appropriate for a woman to sit at her desk and cry. I mean, we wouldn't want a man to sit at the desk and cry. And if a man is demonstrating some anger, he's a motivator. If a woman shows some anger at work, she's, excuse me, maybe not good to say this word, but she's being witchy. How's that? Witchy. I'll use that word. So again, we are told what to do with our feelings. And so often I have heard clients say, well, I shouldn't feel ... in this situation. And as I say to them, that is often your way of telling yourself not to feel what you really are feeling. I shouldn't be. You know, my car was stolen. I really shouldn't be angry. Really? Okay, I know that's a little extreme, but that's what came to mind for me. So we often tell ourselves how we should or shouldn't feel. And again, that just does not, it doesn't help us very well. So I'm going to take a little bit of a commercial break. And I will be back to talk a little bit about our feelings and about the importance of emotional intelligence.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program, and I am talking about emotional intelligence. It is something that I talk about quite frequently with my clients. I may not always couch it using those terms, emotional intelligence, but it is something that I often focus on. And one of the theories, I want to say my most favorite counseling theory, is called rational emotive behavioral therapy. And it was established by Albert Ellis. Some of you may have known him or heard of him. He was sort of the father of cognitive behavioral therapy. And cognitive behavioral therapy is basically that how we think or our belief systems, our cognitions, and how we behave have a direct consequence on how we feel. So my belief systems play a huge role, which sometimes we need to change because of our emotions. However, I also agree that emotions are important, that we don't want to take our emotional life and switch it off into changing our belief systems around things so that we don't feel. So basically what cognitive behavioral therapy is about is taking what we would call our extreme feelings. So instead of being enraged over something, I am disappointed. But it's important to be able to perceive emotions, that is, the ability to detect and decipher emotions in yourself, as well as on faces of other people, pictures that we see, voices that we hear, cultural artifacts, all of these things. This is what helps us identify our own emotional life. If any of you have ever had children, your young children, newborns, young children, 18 months, they stare at your face. What they are doing is they are perceiving emotion. Because an 18-month-old or a 12-month-old or a 6-month-old does not have the cognitive ability to think logically. However, their emotional lives, the emotional center of their brain is already developed, and part of what they're doing is they're learning how to express the emotions they already feel. It's the way they connect. So when mommy smiles, baby smiles. When mommy cries, baby cries. When mommy frowns, baby frowns. There's an interesting, I just saw it yesterday on Facebook. It is a woman, she's sitting and watching television, and she has her young child sitting next to her. I'm going to say maybe about 18 months because he's sitting up. And she's crying. She's watching the show and she's crying. Who knows what she's watching? And he looks at her and he looks at her and he frowns. And you could tell he's having empathy in watching her emote. And she's crying, and all of a sudden she reaches for a Kleenex because it's right there. Only to find out that it was this infant who picked up the box of Kleenex so mommy could dry her tears. He knew that she was in emotional pain because he saw it. And the ability to identify someone else's pain, recognize it within yourself, that is called empathy. It is a basic aspect of emotional intelligence. It allows us to process the emotions of others around us and our own emotions. When we do not have access, or we have been taught to deny our own feelings, we will not have good empathy. And empathy is extremely important as human beings. The other thing about emotional intelligence is how we use our emotions. Yes, how we use them. Now, cognitive behavioral therapies do allow us to change our mood based on changing our belief systems and or changing our behaviors. And it's not so much about manipulating someone else through my emotional life, but it gives me that opportunity to make choices based on emotion. I'm going to use afraid, fear. Well, walking down a street at 1 o'clock in the morning and there's no lights, I hope all of us have a little bit of fear. That fear helps us become hypervigilant, watching, taking care of ourselves. Or we go on a date with someone and we recognize, you know, this guy's a little scarier. This woman's a little creepy. Fear. And that may help us make a decision. Or maybe we're going on a job interview and we walk into the office and it's chaotic and there's piles of paper and we look around and we say, well, this feels a little uncomfortable. Helps us make a decision. Logically, I might say, oh, well, that's just logic. You know, I'm seeing it's messy. Chances are they're disorganized. Yes. And I also need to listen to my feeling. My feeling is saying there's something uncomfortable. There's something awkward about this situation. It helps me, helps you, helps us take care of ourselves. Being safe is extremely important. Now, of course, we can go to such an extreme where we choose not to live life because life is too dangerous. But fear actually can help us make some decisions about how we take care of ourselves. So it's not about isolating. It's about what I can do to be safe. How I can stay safe. I walk into a restaurant. Looks really dirty. Well, cognitively speaking, I will say, well, chances are the food might not be good. But sometimes we can ignore that. Oh, I'm really hungry. And yet go, this feels kind of icky. Yes, icky. So I'm going to make a decision and not stay. So it's a combination of using our emotional life and our cognitive life. In addition, I might feel lonely. That may mean I take action. I reach out to someone. I fill that need. Now, I've said before, and I'll say again, we've got four basic feelings: sad, mad, glad, and afraid. Well, how in the world can being mad be useful? Well, it is useful. And when I've had anger management groups or when I have worked specifically with someone dealing with anger, I tell them the idea is not to not have anger. It's about how to cope with anger. How to use our anger in a way that is healthy. That might mean that I work at being assertive, not aggressive, not passive-aggressive, definitely not passive. If I feel a wrong is being done, I may feel angry about it. I have the right to then say, this is not right, and what can we do to change it? It's called righteous anger. Now, sometimes we can have our egos get in the way. I talked last week about domestic violence and domestic abuse. Oftentimes that's an ego problem, control problem, a power problem. We also need to understand that level of anger, those feelings. Because if I am an abuser and I'm always angry, I need to recognize that that feeling is out of control and I need to do something about it. It is the very act of anger that oftentimes creates change in our world. Angry over air pollution, angry over water pollution, angry over political issues, angry over on and on and on. And does that mean we just throw logic to the side? No, absolutely not. The two of them are extremely important to work together. We cannot be only Spock. You all know Spock. The interesting thing about Spock, he was half Vulcan and half human. And one of the things that often would happen in a show where he was featured is he was almost forced to use that human side of him where there was emotion. And of course, Captain Kirk, all emotion, and Spock, all intelligence, worked well together in coming up with solutions. It's extremely important to have both of those things. Thinking a problem through? Absolutely. What are my goals? What are the steps I'm going to take? What do I need? How do I feel about the project and at hand? Or the problem? I might actually feel fine with the situation and do nothing. But if I'm feeling uncomfortable in some way, angry, frustrated, sad, anxious, fearful, chances are I am going to make a decision to make some changes. The interesting thing is that oftentimes with clients, they would like to have only one feeling, one, and that is they want to feel glad. Well, yes, don't we all really prefer to feel happy all the time? But if that is our sole focus and we do not allow ourselves to feel the other feelings and use the other emotions in our ability to make decisions, it's like looking at a rainbow with only one color. It's funny, we list our emotions, we attach colors to them. I'm so angry I see red. I feel blue today. I'm so envious. I'm green with envy. Interesting, isn't it? So, you know, yellow, scared, right? Okay. So the thing is that if we were to say, it's not okay to feel angry, well, I take the color red out of my rainbow. Or jealous, or envious, I take the green out. It's not okay to feel afraid, I take the yellow out. It's not okay to feel sad, I take the blue out. What do I have? I don't have anything. I have cut off my emotional life, and it's dull, and it's flat, and it's depressed. So understanding our emotions is extremely important. And understanding them is about comprehending the emotional language. To talk about how you feel. And to appreciate the complicated relationships within your emotional life. Because we are complicated human beings. We don't just feel sad or angry. we have bittersweet. We have a combination of feelings that are very well nuanced throughout our lives. Again, making up that total rainbow of emotions. And then lastly, it is our ability to regulate our emotions. Now, the thing is I really can't regulate emotions in someone else. I cannot control how someone else thinks or feels or behaves. But what I can do is I can regulate my own emotional life. Therefore, I need to know what I'm feeling. I need to know what I'm feeling so that I can harness my emotions, both the negative ones or the uncomfortable ones and the ones that are comfortable. And speaking of negative emotions, I know I said that and I catch myself saying that because I really don't like saying negative emotions. I actually prefer saying uncomfortable. Because anger is not a negative emotion. And sadness is not a negative emotion. And fear is not a negative. They're just uncomfortable. I do have a test that I give clients, take-home test, where I have probably 150 emotional words. Next to that is a column that says felt, and next to that is another column that says reported. Many times we have feelings that we could say, well, I felt that, but you know what, I've never said that, never told anyone that I felt that way. And so part of developing relationship is the ability to have empathy, perceiving emotions, my emotions and your emotions, through how you look, how you sound. You know, looking at your faces, the words that you choose, the same thing, the words I choose. If I'm frowning, I need to be aware. I need to recognize if we are using our emotions to facilitate change. Are we having good coping skills? Am I telling you how I feel and listening to how you feel, building that rapport, making a connection, being on the same wavelength doesn't necessarily mean that we think the same way, though sometimes that is part of it, but it also means that we feel the same way. Part of emotional intelligence helps us develop a sense of self-awareness. Our emotions help us to recognize our strengths, our weaknesses, our drives, our values and goals, and helps us recognize our emotional impact on others. We can use those guides, our values, goals, weaknesses, strengths. We can use them as our gut feelings to make a decision. How many of us make decisions based on our feelings? You know, quite a lot of us. I feel this is the thing to do. It feels positive. When I look at the other directions, the other aspects, I feel afraid. I feel uncomfortable. I'm feeling anxiety. I'm feeling anger. But if I look at this other direction, I'm feeling safety. It really helps us make decisions. Now, I am not saying that we need to make decisions based solely on our emotional life. It is really a combination of the two. But if we have shut down our emotional life and we only use our cognitive life to make decisions, we are making a decision with half the lights out, with half the knowledge. And that self-awareness, knowing how we feel, actually helps us in self-regulation. And what does that mean? Self-regulation. Knowing when I've had enough. Recognizing that it's inappropriate to hit someone because I'm angry, because I may feel guilty. Guilt, again, is a very unpleasant feeling. And sometimes guilt is warranted. I actually did something that was wrong and I feel guilty, and I'm learning that that's not a feeling that I like having. So I get to make different choices. So the consequence is not to feel guilty. Stealing something, I may end up feeling guilty. Well, I don't like the feeling. Again, see there, it helps me make a decision. Now we can go overboard. I'm guilty. Everything that happens, I feel guilty. Same thing with shame. There's healthy shame and there's toxic shame. It's good to have some shame. It's a positive thing. It helps us make some healthy choices. Toxic shame? That shame is poisonous. It gets to the very core of who we are. Again, self-awareness, self-regulation, where I feel as if I don't deserve anything. I feel worthless. I have no self-esteem. I have no sense of self-love. As a consequence, I allow anyone to take advantage of me. See how important those emotions are? Who knew? But self-awareness and self-regulation go hand in hand. And it helps us with social skills. Helps us manage relationships. Now, when I say manage relationships, I don't mean managing people, even though the book on emotional intelligence does talk a lot about what it takes to be a leader in business. Being emotionally aware of the needs of the people that work for you and under you and beside you. And that is part of social skills. When I used to have employees, when I worked at the halfway house, and I had employees underneath me, one of the things that I said is that when employees are happy, they work harder for you. And so that is happy is a feeling. So the thing is that wanting to create an atmosphere where the people that work under me are feeling satisfied with their position. They feel as if they're contributing. They have a purpose. They're being rewarded. They're being listened to, cared for, empathized with. If you are a coach, you just scream at your players all the time. Or if you only use logic to get them on the field to do what you think that they should do, rather than work at building a sense of camaraderie, companionship, teamwork, feeling connected, working with each other, as in the military band of brothers. These are all emotions. These are all social skills that help manage ourselves personally and manage people within our lives. And empathy plays a huge role in relationship. I've already talked about empathy, but it's really about considering other people's feelings when we are making a decision. Especially people who are important to us. So that I care about my friends. I care about my family. They show empathy towards me. They consider how I feel. It's about being considerate. Having empathy does not mean that I take other people's feelings into consideration at the expense of my own. It's a balance. I cannot live by the cognitive belief of get over it. Though, sometimes I might say that. And being aware of our emotional lives helps us build those relationships by having empathy, by connecting with other people. It actually motivates us. It motivates us to move forward. It motivates us to connect with others. It motivates us to be better people. I'm going to take a short commercial break, and I am going to be back with Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamirroll, your host for today's program, and I am talking about emotional intelligence.
100 in Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call 100 in Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.100inhealthcare.org.
Good evening, this is Dr. Blood and my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at the redmillhauntedvillage.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamirroll, your host for today's program. And just as you heard from the commercial that was just played, Halloween is just around the corner. And using emotional intelligence. Wow, can we use emotional intelligence for Halloween? It's a time when we like to scare each other. Well, scaring each other's fine. It can be all good fun and games and playful. And at the same time, it's also about being safe. So it is a combination of, there we go, combination of feelings, having a good time, being fun, having fun with each other, dressing up, playing games, trick-or-treating, and also being a little cautious and safe. That's my public announcement. So back to emotional intelligence. Believe it or not, when we have things like bullying, where we have aggression and harassment and violence, where we have someone taking a position of power over a victim, there has been significant studies about the relationship between bullying and emotional intelligence. How's that? Being emotional intelligence is a set of abilities related to understanding and managing emotion. Emotion of oneself, regulating them, and emotions of others, empathy. Generally speaking, someone who is a bully has poor self-regulation skills in terms of regulating their own emotions. There's a tendency to have a lower emotional intelligence if you are a bully. Part of that is because you have a lack of empathy or very low empathy. So you combine those two, and you get a bully. So inability to manage your own emotions and the inability to have empathy for someone else. Empathy, putting yourself emotionally in someone else's shoes. Self-esteem and drug use with emotional intelligence. My goodness, you mean there's actually been studies based on this stuff? So apparently the study done in 2012 cross-examined emotional intelligence with self-esteem and marijuana dependence. And out of a sample of 200, 100 who were dependent on pot and the other 100 who were not, the dependent group scored emotionally and exceptionally low. That means the people who were using marijuana had low emotional intelligence, other than the other half that had healthy or higher. Now, that doesn't mean that someone who gets involved in drugs and alcohol already have a low emotional intelligence or have high emotional intelligence and they're using drugs and alcohol as a consequence. It is more that someone who gets involved in drugs and alcohol have a low self-awareness, have a poor sense of empathy, have little ability to cope with their own feelings, poor coping skills, poor social skills, poor self-regulation skills. Oftentimes, it's been my experience, when I'm working with clients who come from families where there is dysfunction, and the more severe the dysfunction, the greater the issue. Because we all have some dysfunction. I mean, there's no such thing as the perfect family. But some families are healthier than others. And when we come from families where we have higher rates of dysfunction, well, and what do I mean by that? It's not just that I have a mother or father or both that are alcoholics or addicts. It could be workaholism. It could be an emotional issue such as I have a narcissistic father, I have a depressive mother. It could be physical issues such as diabetes or cancer. It can be an issue where there's divorce, incarceration, long-term separation because of military. There's many, many things that are contributing factors, I will say. But emotional intelligence plays a huge role, meaning learning how to identify our feelings as children, learning how to cope with those feelings as children. And so often, in my experience with someone involved in drugs and alcohol, there are underlying issues that may be emotionally based, fear of abandonment, low self-esteem, loneliness, inability to connect with others, lack of empathy, poor social skills, poor emotional skills, not knowing how to cope with feelings, unresolved grief. All of these issues can contribute to drug use, especially if we don't have good coping skills. Don't want to feel, want to stay numb, numb out. That's the idea. That's part of what drugs do. That's why they work so well. I don't have to cope with my feelings. I can nod off. I can feel numb. I don't know how to handle the situation, so I'm going to get high. I'm going to get drunk. We glorify it. In our fantasy movies and television shows, we glorify it. Just watched Flight the other night. It was something with Denzel Washington. I wanted to see it when it first came out several years ago. Just never had the opportunity, and I saw it was playing, so I watched it. And it is about an airliner pilot crashed. Saved hundreds of lives in his quick thinking, but was an alcoholic and didn't want to feel his feelings about the situation. And so his drinking and drugging got progressively worse very quickly because he didn't want to feel and he did not have the coping skills on how to handle the emotion, the grief, the loss, the trauma. I hope you're beginning to understand this process and the necessity of recognizing your emotional life and other people's emotional lives. Now, that doesn't mean that I caretake or rescue other people. Each one of us is responsible for our own feelings. At the same time, we can inadvertently do something which may hurt someone else's feelings, and or we may disappoint other people. I do suggest that we take care of ourselves first. Not so much as our wants as much as our needs. There's a huge difference. So, you know, maybe I have a friend that's invited me and I don't know if I really want to go. But I know if I go, you know, it'll make my friend happy. So I will go. Versus, I'm really tired. I don't feel well. I have a headache. I've got a cold coming on. I need to stay home and take care of myself. I had a long day at work. I'm exhausted. I need to stay home and take care of myself. There's a huge difference with self-care. So emotional intelligence, again, it really is about recognizing how you feel. It's developing those skills. It's using your feelings in a way that benefits you. You can actually take some tests to see how much in tune you are with your own emotional intelligence. Those gut feelings that help us make decisions. Those gut feelings that help us make decisions. So often we're told, go with your gut. That's emotional intelligence. Go with your gut. Again, it helps with self-awareness, self-management, social situations, and how to manage relationships. It affects our performance at work, our physical health, our mental health, and our relationships. Using good emotional intelligence and developing good emotional skills provides us the ability to reduce stress. It helps us manage our emotions so that we don't get overwhelmed. It keeps us connected with ourselves and with others through nonverbal communication. It gives us the opportunity to use humor to stay in a challenging situation. And gives us the ability to resolve conflicts in positive, self-enhancing ways. Journal. Identify your emotions. Today I am feeling. And use a feeling word. Begin to make lists of your feelings. One of the things that I did for myself and I suggest other clients is look up feeling words and then write down when you felt that feeling. Just like that other exercise, look up feeling words, anger. Oh, I felt, usually in the dictionary, and I'm suggesting using a good old-fashioned dictionary, they usually have a sentence with the word. I felt angry when my keys were stolen. And then they have synonyms, words that mean the same thing or similar. Frustrated. Oh, what is frustrated? It's good to learn the nuances of the words. There's anger, frustrated, mad. I need a dictionary. Look them up. Enraged. Annoyed. Just look them up. Find out what they mean, the nuances of them. Begin to practice using them in your daily life. Apply them to yourself. Apply them to relationships. Recognize how you feel in your body, in your stomach, in your chest. Recognize how you feel in your facial expressions, the tone of your voice, the tapping of your finger, the shaking of your foot or your knee. What are these things telling you about how you feel? Make eye contact to build good emotional intelligence and pay attention to nonverbal cues. So I hope this has been helpful, that you recognize the importance of emotion in your life. that emotional intelligence is just as important as your intellectual IQ.